Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
This
welcome,
is the Rich Eisen Show.
Now, oh my God.
You beat Ohio State last year.
Oh my God.
Do you have the same drive to beat them this year?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I can't even think about it. I'm jumping out of my skin over that possibility.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Robert Griffin III. Still to come, 49ers general manager John Lynch, ESPN host and broadcaster Chris Fowler. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That it is. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here in hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We say hello to everybody in the 457 chat hole, wormhole. Right here on our program, where we say hello to our terrestrial radio listeners coast to coast. We say hello to listening on the Odyssey app and, of course, our podcast listeners listening whenever they darn well please on the Cumulus Podcast Network, where all podcasts can be acquired. Just check us out every single day. We greatly appreciate all of you doing that. The phone lines are completely lit. We'll get to them in a moment. I arrived here a little late today prior to the show because... I don't know what it was, but I was behind every terrible driver in Los Angeles, California, and there's many of them out here. I don't know what it was, but it was
also school started.
Insane.
I think midweek here.
It's 100 degrees out.
It's very, very hot.
Rich Eisen Show complaining about the traffic and weather together on the ones.
Yeah, well done.
That's what I'm doing, getting it off my chest. So I was in a little bit of a mood, but then RG3 got me out of it. He started talking about how he's on my favorite campus on planet Earth, Ann Arbor, Michigan. I didn't know that he was calling the Colorado State contest against my alma mater.
You feel like you're about 31 points better than Colorado State this weekend? What do you think about that?
I just want to be 1 point better than them. How does that sound?
That would not sound great to me.
I don't know, man. I would love for Michigan to just come out and blow the doors off.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I would absolutely love it, but I have no idea. Being a Michigan fan for as long as I've been, following them since 1986... These are the type of games usually where they come out, maybe they'll score first, and you think, okay, this is good, and then some dumbass penalty called by some Big Ten ref that sucks already, or they make a mistake, fumble it, interception, and they keep Colorado State alive and in the game, and suddenly it's a tight one, and I'm already biting down on my cuticles at halftime thinking this one's not going to be easy. I mean, I'd love for them to come out and just look like, okay, they're top 10. They're just going to win by 30-something. What do they have to win by?
31.
Okay. I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy, is what I'm saying. You're asking the wrong guy, to say the least. Chris Fowler is calling Ohio State and Notre Dame on Saturday night, and he's calling some top-notch tennis affairs at the United States Open. That is for darn sure. Serena Williams is through to the third round. We'll talk about that later on this hour. John Lynch is calling in about 20 minutes' time. Do we have questions for John Lynch? What do you think?
Well,
general manager of the 49ers?
I think we've got
questions
few.
For him.
We've been talking about his team for a few months now.
Yeah, right, let's talk about his tight end room, right? Who's backing up George Kittle? How about that one for
Brandon
starters?
Brandon Ayuk, look.
John Lynch joins us in about 20-some-odd minutes' time. He's a busy man.
We could have him break down the Rays playoff chase.
We could.
He used to play for them.
The Rays? He played for the Rays?
He was in their minor leagues. I think they drafted him.
Yeah, I don't think we'll do that. All I don't right, really. I don't. It's. Saying. I stopped following baseball. It was around like 11 o'clock local time last
year.
You're
back not following
baseball. It's just I'm on and off.
You got it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Brockman's burning questions for the next group of five teams on your list.
25 to 21.
You did 32 to 26 yesterday.
Correct.
Who'd you tick off yesterday?
Jaguars fans weren't too happy. I said basically the roster was kind of still the same. They do have some new starters, which, you know, apologies for overlooking that. But look.
They're a sensitive group.
You're still going to be probably picking in the top 10. It's
good.
Okay.
Good news good news in Carolina. Sam Darnold has just the dreaded high ankle sprain. It looked like his ankle was snapped in half, actually, over the weekend in that final preseason game for Carolina. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, which gives him a chance to come back and actually participate in the 2022 season. And I thought to myself when I saw that, I'm like, if Sam Darnold has any luck, it would be no luck at all. Good God, has this guy just had, drafted into the NFL. His first touchdown pass for the Jets was a pick six on that Monday nighter in Detroit. And then he still came back and won.
Yep.
And then his coach was Todd Bowles, your current Tampa Bay head coach. And he was dead coach walking, a defensive-minded coach with a young rookie quarterback. And the Jets decided, let's get rid of him and bring in Adam Gase. I think that is enough said on that front. And then they give him the exit visas he's looking for. He goes to Carolina. He beats the Jets last year. He starts 3-0, and it looks like he's got his shot, and he's on his way, and then he gets hurt again. And then the offensive coordinator, who was brought in from LSU by Matt Rhule, Joe Brady. Remember when he brought in that? He brought in Joe Brady, and at that time, the concept was he was the hottest assistant in college.
After Joe Burrow's 60-touchdown Heisman season.
And to get that guy and bring him and that style of offense to the NFL and instill it into the professional ranks with Sam Darnold, that's the win. McCaffrey gets hurt. Now Matt Rhule's on the hot seat. It's a new offensive coordinator there. He's got the shot again until Baker Mayfield is acquired.
Crazy.
And as I told you, the minute Mayfield was acquired, it was a wrap. A wrap. And I know that they had their competition, but you don't go out and get somebody like Mayfield after evaluating Sam Darnold and having him in your group for as long as they had him. You don't make that move, even though it was hardly anything compensation-wise to go get him, except the money that they're spending. You don't do that if you have full confidence in the guy that you're already having as your starter. You don't go and get Mayfield if you believe in Darnold. And sure enough, it's Mayfield's gig, and Darnold is playing anyway in a preseason game, and it looked like he had his ankle broken, but... thank goodness the football gods have saw fit to keep that ankle from breaking. It's the dreaded high ankle sprain. I hope he gets back in and has an opportunity to contribute, although that would mean that's a problem for Carolina. That would be an issue. And Baker Mayfield is showing his moxie, to say the least, in many different ways right now. Him versus Jacoby Brissett week one. As you all know, it's already on and cracking. But at least Sam Darnold got some good news just moments ago. 844-204-RICH. Let's take some phone calls, man.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Chike in Connecticut. First up here on the program. Did I say your name right, sir?
You did indeed.
Fantastic.
First of all, I have to say I'm a huge fan, and you're one of the reasons why I want to go into broadcasting.
Oh, wow. Okay. Terrific. Can you wait till I'm done with my job before you take it? Would you mind?
Sure.
Okay. That's all I ask.
Sure.
Okay. What's on your mind, sir?
First of all, do you think the Ravens will make the playoffs? And if you do, how far do you think they'll go?
Oh, man. I am already... I had to send in yesterday, Chike, and for the rest of everyone in the room here, on Tuesday is the NFL Game Day morning season preview show.
Yes.
I had to send in all 8 of my division predictions and my MVP. And
did you pick wild cards too?
No, just I had to pick it.
Oh, yeah.
I just had to pick 8 division winners. They just asked for 8 division winners, and they asked for an MVP.
Okay.
I'm going to reveal them here on the show tomorrow.
I think you should.
Okay.
I think you should too.
In the same way that Russ was thinking for himself and not the rest of the group, and apparently taking everything that wasn't fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
I'm going to just reveal him tomorrow on this program.
Love it.
However, I will just reveal to you, since you just asked me, I do not have the Ravens winning the AFC North.
Oh.
RG3, I'm sure you heard on hold, said they're going to win the whole thing.
That's a bit of an overreaction. If that was an overreaction Monday, I would think that's an overreaction. I think, in my opinion, I think we'll make the title game, but not the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, there you have it. That means you probably think that they're winning the division. All I'll say is this. You can't sit here and say the Ravens have no shot to do what RG3 said. We can't sit here and do that. They've got the coach. They've got the quarterback. They've got enough talented players. They have the identity. So many teams are searching for one entering week one. We know what their identity is. So we can't sit here and deny that. And thanks for the call, Chike. And again, remember to give me a shot to finish my job before you take it. But I don't have them winning the AFC North. I'll reveal them tomorrow.
I like that idea.
How about them apples?
I like it.
Sorry, NFL Network, but at least you're going to get them exclusively from Mooch, Irv, and Kurt on Tuesday.
The Bengals winning the...
I'll hold off my MVP until Tuesday. How does that sound? But I'll do the division winners tomorrow. We'll do that here on the program. Let's go to, the UK. Nick in Birmingham, UK. All the way from across the pond, as I'm mandated to say, as an American sports broadcaster, anything involved with the United Kingdom. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, Rich. Yeah, not too much. I just wanted to talk quickly about fantasy football. I know you guys are,
yes.
Obviously, Mr. Brockman is very into his fantasy football, and you've got the crazy rules of Mr. Trivio's league going on.
Yes.
On Monday, I am taking part for the second time in a crazy 24-man league.
Oh, what?
Don't do it.
After,
Nick.
Yeah. Named after notorious first-round draft bust Jamarcus Russell. Shout out to the Jamarcus Bowl. It's a one running back, one wide receiver, two flex league. And by round four, as you can imagine, it gets a little bit ridiculous.
All right, hold on a second, Nick. Walk me through your league. It's 24, man. Is it a snake draft? Is it a snake draft? Is it an auction draft? What is it? What do you got?
Yeah, it's a snake draft.
Okay. And the positions are what? The positions are what?
So you've got quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, two flex, a kicker, and defense, and then a five-man bench.
Uh-huh. All right.
So
I just looked it up. If I'm not mistaken, speaking the way that folks in the UK would say, is it proper to say this is Barmy? Is it proper to say that?
Yes, I would say that's pretty Barmy.
That's the British slang for crazy or insane. I just looked that up. Thank you, Google.
Well done.
All right. That said, what advice can I help you with?
What pick do you have?
What do you have?
So I've got pick 11.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
You can imagine, obviously, first and probably second tier running backs will be taken, maybe Cooper Kupp and a couple of others. And then usually in the first round, you get a wild quarterback pick as well. So then that starts the quarterback free for all as well. So,
Chris, what do you say? I'll turn to you since your 14-team league looks like a walk in the park compared to this.
Looks like amateur hour.
So 11, you could get Kelsey, right? You could get Kelsey, or you could get Devontae Adams 11, I think, in a league like that.
I
people
think
are taking running
yeah,
backs
you could probably
like
get,
crazy. Yeah, I think
like
you could
that.
Do that.
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to find some.
How about this, Nick? Why don't you? When is this? It's Monday.
It's Monday at about 3 Eastern.
Okay. Can you tweet at our at Rich Eisen show your final roster and then call back and walk us through it on Tuesday? Would you mind doing that?
Sure. I'll give that a go.
Let's do that. Why
don't you guys break this up into two 12-team leagues?
Like divisions.
Or divisions. You're going to have two leagues. And then just have the winners play each other.
Yeah, I don't know. Or
still got everybody drafted.
I think there's the option. There's only two options here, TJ.
One is not to play.
Is to do this or not at all.
That's too many.
As you know, we would choose the not at all. But Nick, thank you for the call. We'll chat with you on Tuesday. Can't wait for the rest of it.
I'm seeing some like Jamar Chase 11th overall. Like that wouldn't be bad. Maybe you could stack him and Joey Burr.
Huh. Connor in Thousand Oaks, California. Let's take your phone call.
A little bit closer.
What's up, Connor? Yeah.
Hey, Rich. I wanted to read a tweet that I think will make both of us pretty excited. You as a Jets fan, me as a Bears fan.
Okay.
This is on Twitter via the Hard Rock Sportsbook. August 2021, Bengals are 151 to win the Super Bowl, and Joe Burrow's entering his second season. August 2022, Bears and Jets are 151 to win the Super Bowl, and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson are both entering their second season. I know that it says August, and today is September 1st. I meant to call you in yesterday, but
do it.
Hey, I'm 27. I got a lot of S going on. And Rich, I know you have no idea what that tweet means, but Chris, you could take that heart and take it to Vegas. JF1's taken off this year.
Hold on a minute. Wait, JF1? JF1.
Yeah,
JF1. JF1 is Justin Fields 1, is what you're JF1. Saying. That's the JF1 that's taking off.
Yes, yes.
Duff Loose is going to be loose up north.
Yeah, I think that JF1, you're missing a C in between the F and the 1 right there. if you know what I'm saying.
What's wrong with
but
you?
What else do you have in mind?
I also want to leave you with a new slogan for the Big Ten. I want to give you a couple options and so you can choose your favorite.
All right.
So it just means more travel. It just means more distance. It just means more jet fuel. And my personal favorite, it just means more time zones.
Well done, sir. You've done the Lord's work here on the program.
Connor, thank
it just
you.
Means more time zones. I like it. If we get Kevin Warren of the Big Ten on, he's been invited. The commissioner of the Big Ten has been invited multiple times on this show, hosted the only show of its kind, 3 hours long, streamed, podcasted, broadcast on radio. The only show of its kind hosted by a Big Tenner. I had to keep on adding different things out there. To make sure it's distinguished by whatever Greeny's does for ESPN
Greeny's
Radio.
Not Big Ten, right?
He's Northwestern.
No, he's Big Ten. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking Dan went to Dayton.
He's not a Big Ten. Levitard's not.
Levitard went
McAfee,
to Miami.
McAfee, as we all know, is
West Virginia.
Where did Rome go? Oh, he went to the School of Smack, right?
I think Rome is UCSB.
Okay.
Oh no, he's a gaucho. Which one's that one?
I don't know.
He's a gaucho.
Right. Who else is out there? Where did Colin go to school?
Colin went to school. Hold on, let's find that real quick.
Okay.
School of hot takes?
Is that where he went to school?
School of just flip flopping? I think he's from Eastern Washington.
Okay, very good.
He went to Chunkla University?
Eastern Washington.
He went to Eastern Washington? Okay, so I think I'm in the clear here. We've invited Kevin Warner. We'll bounce off all those things down.
And my advice to Connor is save your money. Don't bet either the Jets or the Bears at one.
Let's go to John in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. John, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's going on?
Hey, Rich. You know, it's a list world that we live in, and I'm calling with a list. I know you love your coaching cliches.
Yes, sir.
And there's a few things that you're wonderful at this show, and I love everything you do.
Uh-oh, that's a setup.
Rich Eisen-isms of things that you like to go to and say, and they always work every time.
Okay. By the way, you should start with all due respect, because I feel like what's about to come is on the water's edge of disrespect.
John? Don't worry, Rich. With all due respect, this is a testament to your work.
Okay, thank you very much. You have the floor. John in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with a list of Rich Eisen-isms. Uh-oh. Go for it.
Yeah. Is anytime a team, whenever they have a young quarterback, you know what they got to do?
What?
They got to take the lump. Number three, they got to take the lump.
Take the lump.
Can you write them down? Write them down. Take the lumps. Take the lumps. That's number three. Number two on this list,
but it's number one in your heart. It's every time that Rich says a player is their number in the program, but number one in your heart.
That's true. Okay, I like it.
And then, anyway, we get to the top of the list, and it's not just number one. It's number one plus the biscuit. Anytime that someone is that good, they're not just the best. They're all that plus the biscuit.
Plus biscuit. Yes. I will say that about your list as well.
Pretty good list.
It's all that plus the biscuit.
I want to leave y'all with one honorable mention.
Oh, hold on a minute. Give the Clooney drop to him. Give the Clooney drop to him, Mike. Mike's half paying attention.
He moved it. Jerky moved it.
You want more?
I got you.
You want more?
Never Mike's
fault. Let me get one more.
Okay, go for it.
You need one more?
So here's the honorable mention, which is that I hope that this time, next September, we're able to remember these items on the list as much as Rich loves to remember the 42 things that happened last November.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
That was a shot off
All right,
the power.
John and Baton Rouge. Well done, sir.
You know, I'm a fan of
There it is.
Having problems with the machine.
John, he also said all of those things while pacing on the phone around the studio.
I do that a lot. I'm a pacer. I'm a pacer while pacer. I talk. I talk and pace. All right, let's take a break so we're on time for one. Uh-oh. John Lynch. He knows what's going on with the 49ers. Last I checked.
I would hope so.
Oh, yeah, baby. I love this guy. Pro Football Hall of Famer John Lynch when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, we're coming to Roku later on this month. We're very excited about that new relationship, and we'll keep everybody posted on how you can take in the Rich Eisen Show every single day on Roku devices, smart TVs, Fire TVs, mobile devices, therokuchannel.com. It's all free. That's the most important part about it. It is all free. And joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is my Hall of Fame friend who happens to be directly in the front office and in the middle of all of what has gone on with the San Francisco 49ers, the general manager of said organization, John Lynch, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing good, Rich. I'm doing really well. It's always a tough time of year.
Yep.
You know, having conversations with players that have really dedicated their entire heart, soul, every ounce of energy into, you know, attaining a goal, and to look somebody in the eye and tell them they just came up a little short is a really tough thing to do. But learned a long time ago, you know, I think it was Tony Dungy. I don't think it was. It was Tony Dungy who anybody who came in and out of our building, Tony would look them in the eye and tell them the truth as to why they were there, why they weren't there, and what the plan moving forward could be for them. So I think that's really important to me that I do that. And, you know, I think the guys appreciate that. So, but it, nonetheless, it is incredibly tough. The nice thing is with the larger, during COVID, we went with these larger practice squads.
Right.
I think the league has wisely held onto those. It's, it serves as a developmental league, in its own right. And, it's really the only source of having guys kind of in, you know, in reserve, and you're improving those players. So you don't have to get rid of as many players as you used to. So it's nice to be able to tell, hey, you didn't make the 53, but we sure like you to be a part of our team by way of the practice squad.
Did you ever witness Tony, like, telling somebody why their playbook was asked to be brought with them into his office? Or you spoke to those guys when leaving? Because I imagine that wasn't a conversation he had with you, John, back in the playing days. I mean, how did you witness that is what I'm asking, I guess.
You just knew it happened. You just knew, and you knew it went a long way with players. You know, there's a lot of places where it's go get your playbook and turn it in, and nobody's really giving you the message. Or it's a scouting assistant, kind of entry-level person just saying, hey, turn in your playbook. And I don't know if owed is the right word, but sure, they've earned that. And if they're here and they're working that hard, they deserve to hear it from a decision maker why they're not going to be there. And I think it goes a long way towards people wanting to come back. And, you know, word travels, it's the right thing to do, but also word travels is to, hey, that organization does things in the right way. I know it did. That was the case down in Tampa and Indy when Tony was there. And I think it's the case here. Kyle does the same thing. And we talk to each of them. So it's great.
John Lynch here on the Rich Eisen Show from the San Francisco 49ers front office. All right, let's just jump into the Jimmy G decision to stay and your process getting to that. I know Kyle Shanahan spoke at length about it in a telephone press conference, but I'd love from your position, how did this come about for Jimmy G to stay with you as the backup, and everyone understands roles, John Lynch?
Yeah, so it's obviously been a long journey way back to, you know, kind of around the combine time when, you know, I really thought that conversations with a number of teams probably honed in on two or three teams where I thought there was a real strong reality that it was happening. Just the tenor of the conversations, the discussions of compensation. And then we got the call from Jimmy that, you know, he had visited Neil Eletrosh in L.A. and that they had made the decision where it had earlier been rest. It was, okay, we need to surgically fix this issue. And all of a sudden, then we're those said teams, you know, that we're talking to. We have to communicate to them. Hold on, you know, we do need to let you know that Jimmy just is tomorrow having to surgery on his throwing shoulder. And you can imagine being in those teams, hey, we're going to step back. Mm-hmm. And so just to make a long story short, then the chairs start filling up, you know, and when there's only so many chairs out there and throughout the off season, a lot of, you know, teams aren't going to wait on that. And so that happened. Now we get to, you know, training camp. And I still think, you know, that, hey, someone's going to come to us with something so strong. You've got a proven starting quarterback, a guy who's been to the Super Bowl, a couple of NFC championship games, that it's just a matter of time. And that really just never happened. You know, a few teams called, but I think everyone, you know, the injury to the shoulder and the fact that a lot of those seats had filled up, you know, made, I can't speak for other teams as to why they didn't. Now, at some point, we're watching our team and we're feeling really good about our team. You know, and there was just a conversation between Kyle and I, hey, what would you think about, you know, Jimmy coming up here in a backup capacity? You know, this is Trey's team. And, you know, I think Kyle's initial reaction was, you know, why would he do that? I'm sure there's going to be a starting, you know, job for him out there, or something's going to arise. And, you know, I don't know exactly when that was, but, you know, we did a couple of things there. We communicated to Jimmy, you know, that we would have interest in that if he did. We also pulled Trey in and talked to him and said, we want you to know we had this conversation. It has nothing to do with you. This is your team. This has more to do with our belief in the team. And if we can strengthen that room and have him as your backup, then, man, that we believe that makes us a better team. Have no idea whether it's going to happen. It's likely won't. And as things kind of developed, and, you know, I guess some people might say, well, why didn't you just do it then, a month ago or something? Well, you know, Jimmy and Don Yee and Carter Chow as representatives, I think, smartly said, we're going to wait for every possibility, whether that's a starting quarterback getting hurt, whatever it is. Sometimes time is your friend on these things. And so we're going to wait till the very end of camp, till the last preseason games played, before we're ready to do something like that. But we do have interest. And so, you know, when it happened very quickly. I'm sorry for a long story, but I don't know any other way to tell it.
No, I'm hanging on to your every word, John, seriously, yeah. Because, and I appreciate you going back to the combine, because that's how far back it's got to go. And the surgery creating a situation where clearly a tradable commodity suddenly needs to be shelved in every possible way. I totally understand what you were doing, and you had me hanging on your every word. So what was Lance's reaction to being told, you know, the guy who you were replacing and we have attempted to trade, so you could understand not only from our mouths and our hearts, but with our roster moves, that this is your team, that we're thinking of bringing him back to make sure that we have our backup position and that quarterback room as solidified as we possibly can. His reaction to that was what, John?
Yeah, so when we first floated the idea, it was Kyle talking to Trey, and then I kind of followed up, and it was Kyle said, John, I don't think there's much of a conversation. It was real short. He said, cool, I think that's great. Trey's a confident young man. He's got a lot of a belief in his abilities. He and Jimmy, I think the most important thing, they have a really strong foundation of a relationship. Jimmy could not have been any better to Trey as a rookie. And I think Trey supported Jimmy extremely well. So there's a real friendship there, first of all, and I get it. You know, there's competition. They both, you know, I'm sure last year and this year want to be the guy, but I think there's an understanding, you know, that there is a pecking order. And I think, you know, like Trey's conversation when we decided to do it, you know, he was, once we completed the deal, happened shortly after we came off the practice field. Again, it's the first person, Kyle called in, and then, you know, I spoke with Trey, and Trey was all on board. He thought it was good for our team. And, you know, the other thing we did then is, talked to Trey. We had to talk to Nate Sudfeld, who wasn't going to be here anymore, who, you know, likely was going to be our number two. Then we pulled 15 players from our team, kind of our leadership committee, them, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. And, you know, wanted to let the guys know that it was our belief in this team, in those guys in the room,
And we know we've created a culture and we've got the men that can handle a situation like this. And so while the rest of the world may think it's uncomfortable, it's, you know, we're not supporting our lead guy. We don't believe in that. We believe in this team and we think it makes us better. And so, and most importantly, we've talked to Trey, we've talked to Jimmy, they're comfortable. So we want your guys, not their blessing because we were doing it anyway, but we want you guys to be on board, and they were excited. And so that's where we're at, and we're moving forward. And I'm happy that, you know, we've got a quarterback room that obviously is so important in this league that is really strong going into the season. And Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, made it as
well.
We usually keep two quarterbacks, but he played very well in the preseason and, you know, really forced us to keep him on the 53 as well.
49ers GM John Lynch here on the Rich Eisen Show, talking about what everybody's talking about in the NFL. So, I mean, look, it's not your first rodeo. You got a bust in Canton showing that. You got a Halas trophy in the case in Santa Clara, and a Super Bowl roster that a lot of people believe is ready to go right now. So you understand. I mean, I had Kurt Warner, a bust, you know, roommate of yours, on the show yesterday when he was the veteran and on the Giants team that turned to Eli. And he said there were veterans there that were saying to him, look, we can win this. Why aren't you out there instead of us struggling with the rookies? That's part of the reason, I assume, why you did call the leaders of your locker room, your leadership council together, make sure that we're all on board. What is the struggle threshold potentially that you and maybe Kyle have talked about where maybe your stance with Trey Lance might somehow waver? That's the conversation that everyone's having right now, John, that I think I just wanted to put a fine point question in your lap on that very subject matter with a young quarterback that's going to have the ups and downs, John.
A good question. I'm stunned. I was like, I was hit with a jab because I thought you were calling when you said Kurt Warner a bust. I was like,
no,
calling Kurt Warner a bust.
No, no,
a bust mate. I got you.
No, a bust in the room with you, a bust mate of
bust
yours.
In
yes,
the room.
Yes,
I got you.
Yeah.
And hey, Kurt has great perspective, but again, you know what it came down to, and obviously, you when you have somebody you've invested as much in as we have in Trey, you want to provide for every opportunity for them to be successful. But what we came down to, we can't control narratives outside the building, even like Kurt Warner, and man, I respect his opinion. I seek those guys out sometimes and ask them about situations. But you know, it was basically, we think our team can handle this, and, you know, we're going to be very clear. You know, no different than last year was Jimmy's team. And, you know, when you know, the call is made that, you know, to go to the backup, that's all on Kyle. You know, I'm not passing the buck. That's his decision as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think our players trust that. And, you know, the bottom line is when we were drafting Trey Lance, you know, the skill set's obviously important. Everything's important when you're making that big a decision. But a lot of it is the mental fortitude, the mental toughness, the capacity to handle the pressure at that position. And that's where we thought Trey was as strong as anybody in that draft. And frankly, it was our belief in Trey that allows us to do this because we think he can handle that. And, you know, does it provide more pressure on him, you know, looking over the shoulder? We don't believe so. Maybe the narrative outside, but what we can focus on is having great communication with Trey, with Jimmy, with our players, and saying, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it. And, you know, we want you guys to have everybody's back in this. And our team understands that. They were all on board. They've got great belief in Trey. They've played, you know, with Jimmy for a long time. They have great belief in him, but they understand that this is Trey's team. He's going to get every shot to go have success. And furthermore, and I think more importantly, they really believe that he's destined to.
So I guess, and I know everything's a hypothetical, anything can happen. But the other thing that Kurt Warner brought up was he got in a game in the year that the Giants eventually did turn to Eli. Coughlin put him in a game to finish it up because Eli was struggling. And then he almost pulled off a comeback win over the Ravens. And Kurt said, he told Coughlin, you need to go to the media and assert the fact that I'm still the backup. and this is still Eli's team. You've got to do that. And I'm wondering if Jimmy G's got that in him, on top of the fact that, asking you the hypothetical, I know I'm asking two at once, but I only have a limited time left with you, that, that is it possible that that could be a role for Garoppolo, that Lance is struggling, Jimmy finishes up, but then it's Lance's team at the end of the day anyway. Is that possible, John?
I don't know. You know, I think about all these things. You know what I think about right now? I was a, my dad was in the radio business, and they were the flagship station for the San Diego Chargers.
Yes.
So I went to every Charger. We were season ticket holders. My dad would entertain clients up in the suite, and my brother and my sister would sit down in the stands as Chargers season ticket holders. And you know what I remember? We had Dan Fouts, another guy who has a bust.
Yes.
And whenever Dan Fouts would struggle, everybody would scream the name of, they would chant Lou. I thought they were booing when I was a young kid. It was Ed Luther was the backup, and they wanted Ed Luther to come in. So I suppose that's always been in football. You know, my grandma was a huge Broncos fan, lived in Boulder, and John Elway may be the greatest specimen of a quarterback ever to play. I just really believe in this Gary Kubiak. So I think that's an age-old thing. I think people will always do it. It comes down to, you know, there is a pecking order, and you know, we do have tremendous belief as to, you know, and I've told you all the things about his makeup and people being comfortable with the situation. Then we just let it ride, and we try to plan for everything. I you know, believe me, I respect the heck out of Kurt. He's been through these situations, but we believe it's a good thing for our team, and we're going to roll with that.
Okay, last one for you. All this stuff, put the whole Debo offseason on the back burner, because that thing's done. How close were you maybe no longer having Debo on the team, John? Did it ever get close to that for you and the Niners?
I never wanted to believe that it was, but there were some moments, you know, and we had to bring it back together again. You know, you go back to the foundation of a relationship, and you know, the first time I ever met Debo was down at the Senior Bowl. That's when Kyle and I met him. He happened to play for us. You know, that the whole saying that year was from Mobile to Miami, because we coached the Senior Bowl, which I don't recommend because it means you were really bad the year before.
Right.
And we went to Miami in our Super Bowl, and, you know, Debo was a big part of that. We love his talent. We love his ability. We love the spirit he brings to our team. And, you know, as to what caused that and all, I'm just glad he's back in the fold with us. And I always believed that he would. You know, there was that market just took off and it went crazy. And, you know, if you go back and do it, the good thing is that it's done and he's a part of us and he's so happy. It was a big weight off his shoulders as well. And we're happy Debo's back in the fold and going to be playing for the Niners for years to come, because he's such a great player and such a great young man.
Well, John, what a fascinating last, I guess, half a year you and the front office and the staff and the team and the organization and the coaching staff had. I'm sure you were relieved that it is over and now it's time for Toe to meet ball in Chicago for your team, and I can't wait to watch it. Just a fascinating team. What a way your season finished up last year and is entering this year. I can't wait, John, and I appreciate the time and the call, as always.
Thanks so much, Rich. Always great to talk to you.
Best to your fam. You take care, John.
Yours as well.
Right. Thanks. Back at you. It's John Lynch, everybody, General Manager, Hall of Famer, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. All right, we'll take a break and unpack what we just heard from him before Chris Fowler joins us from, I believe he's still in Queens. I don't know if he's already in Ohio State. We'll check in with him. But the man, the voice of the U.S. Open and college football on ESPN, still to come. And you. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I do.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Hey, man, John Lynch just basically told you, we tried to trade him. He had surgery. We didn't expect it. We got a call. He had surgery. All the trade partners we had lined up suddenly ran for the hills. Then we go into the draft. Then we see where all the pieces fall. We see how he comes through surgery. It's training camp. He and we wanted to see how everything shook out in training camp. Were there any injuries? Would anybody come forward needing somebody a la the Vikings? Would Jimmy G be the Sam Bradford of this equation to whichever unfortunate Teddy Bridgewater injury in training camp befell another team? Didn't happen. At some point, turn around, say to Kyle, or Kyle says to me, you think Jimmy want to stay? You know? Goes to Trey Lance. He says, Trey said, cool. Now, I know a lot of people will be like, there's no way he said that.
Well, he could have said it like, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, cool. It's,
yeah, cool. But he says Trey can handle it, and we can handle it, and the team can handle it. And if I'm a veteran in that locker room, if I'm the member of, he said, the 15-member player council, leadership council that they have, if I'm a veteran on this team, and I hear that Jimmy G is willing to stay to be the backup, and he will be there if Trey gets hurt and the season will not be blown up. We're not handing it off to Nate Sudfeld or Brock Purdy.
Right.
That we're handing it off to Jimmy G, and that Jimmy's willing to be around and be that guy for us. I am like all in. I'm like, do it. Will he do it? Really? Can I call Jimmy? Do you need me to call Jimmy to see if Jimmy will do it? Of course I'm doing it. You want me to sell that in the locker room? I'm in. Done. And that's not a slight to Trey. It's a knowing that one split second can happen. Remember Jimmy G didn't get out of bounds and his knee blew up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That can happen to Trey Lance. And then my season's over. My ability to win a Super Bowl this year is essentially over because I definitely have concerns about the other guys you're considering as backup. I'm in. As a matter of fact, do you want me to call Jimmy to help? Right. That would have been my response. It's just, again, managing the downs of the ups and downs that are inevitable when it comes to a guy as inexperienced at the position as Trey Lance is that normally happens in the NFL for somebody like that with that experience level like that. Can he come in and play like Justin Herbert and make this all moot? And Jimmy G is an earbud in all season long? You bet. Will he struggle to the point where the team is 500 and it's clearly his fault based on his play, based on the all 22s that are out there on Twitter, the all 22 Twitter showing there's where he should have gone. And you know, Kyle knows that. And Kyle has got to be up his, you know what about it? That is there a threshold? That's why I asked that question of Lynch. And it was funny. His answer being, you know, my dad used to be in radio. I had season tickets to San Diego and we heard people chanting the backup name for Dan Fouts. What he said, his grandmother was wanting Gary Kubiak to get in the game when Elway would struggle. Like, and I thought that was a nice way of saying that, you know, there's always going to be that drumbeat outside the building. Right. But we are going to remember yesterday, Chris, you're like, of course I'd take Jimmy G, but this is not in a vacuum.
Yeah,
the Jimmy G is going to be the presence that might throw Trey Lance off his game, having him look over his shoulder the whole time. And I'm like, well, the coach thinks he can create that vacuum. And you thought that that's not feasible, and you just heard John Lynch and the coach say that that's the feasibility that they're willing to endeavor because having Jimmy G in the building to back the guy up is worth it. That the in case of emergency, Garoppolo is there for to start the season is in case Lance gets hurt. We're all sitting there like, will you break the in case of emergency glass if Lance is inconsistent and not ready, not Super Bowl ready, and the inconsistency that you would have been willing to live with to get through this season, ups and downs, so he can be mature and your guy for a decade plus to follow, you're still not willing to go through those growing pains because you got Jimmy G there and we're going to break the in case of emergency glass because we think we can win the Super Bowl. And Trey Lance will, instead of the conversation being, hey, we're bringing Jimmy G in here, hope you're cool with that. Cool. It's like, hey, Jimmy's now the starter. Hope you're cool with that. We're going to try again next year with you. That's what's set up for this 49er season. And holy cow, is it pretty much unprecedented and fascinating. But I'm still betting on Lance. I have from the beginning, and I'll keep doing it. Chris Fowler talking to Serena at the U.S. Open and Notre Dame, Ohio State, and more when we come back on the other side on radio. I just try to boil it down for you, man.
They're going to be one of the most fascinating teams
this year,
without question. Every week, it's just going to be analyzing Lance. Did he do enough? Should they go to Jimmy now? Is he going to?
Not doing enough and they're winning,
who cares? Right. Obviously, but if he's not doing enough and they're losing, it's just going to get louder.
But losing to what extent? Losing to what extent?
Losing.
To what extent? 4-3. Do you go to Jimmy G? 3-4. Do you go to Jimmy G?
6.
I don't think they'll get to that. They're too damn good, man.
We looked at their schedule. There's no reason
they should be too damn good. They should be 2-0.
Yeah, I mean 3-3 after 6 at the very worst.
Which is fine. Right. They're going to Lance for a reason. Cuz they know. They know they've got to get to him now, sooner better than later.
But because they spent to
correct get him. And also they know that his upside is stupendous. It is.
They think.
We think. You think. You know. He's got an upside. What do you think he's big, tall, strong, fast, smart.
Upside.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Hasn't played a lot.
Got to get him in there.
It'd be awesome if he was great.
Lance and the Niners with Jimmy G backing up at JF1 and the Bears to open week one. Another fascinating week one game.
Fun game.
Chris Fowler on the other side. My buddy from ESPN coming up.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.